And the court will proceed to the sixth case, United States versus Rosales Mora. Ms. Larissa, is it?
That's correct.
If it pleases the court, I represent Mr. Rosales Mora. And I feel here's going to come another Booker argument coming in.
Well, it's the last of the day.
Well, at least that's a relief. I know. Well, before I became a lawyer, I was in the art world, and I remember as an art student at the Art Institute, we'd have days in which we'd be looking at artwork and looking and looking and looking and looking, and all of a sudden, great artworks, but it would merge into one piece. And so, you know, museum fatigue can be real, and I'm sure gentlemen are really feeling it by this time.
Well, but your case is a little unusual because there's an alternative sentence that was imposed.
That's correct. And what the PSR had 70 to 87 months that was put forth. And Judge Shabazz sentenced my client to two sentences, one under the sentencing guidelines of 87 months plus 3 years of supervision, and the identical one outside of the guidelines. Now, although he at the time had stated that he thought that the sentencing guidelines were constitutional, he was perfectly cognizant that they may be found to be not constitutional. Now, as it was a bifurcated sentence, and they were not clearly found non-constitutional, but on the other hand, we have the definite directive that it's a Sixth Amendment violation if any fact that's used as an element or sentencing factor or any other factor is decided by the judge and not decided by the jury or admitted by the client. So in my client's case, he had the he was indicted and pled guilty to one count of 8 U.S.C. 1326 sub A and sub B 2. And in the PSR, what happened in there is that the characterization was given a 16-point increase. And although I know that this court just recently stated that the 16-point increase for a violent crime with regard to this immigration or illegal alien status is legal, that was not in the context of a Booker decision. If I'm not mistaken, it was agreed upon by all parties that Booker didn't apply. But we're saying that Booker does apply, and that when Booker does apply, that particular increase of 16 points falls directly into the area that was specifically discussed in Booker, in which the court said that the characterization of a fact or circumstance as an element or a sentencing factor is not determinative of who decides. And I think that that is the essential issue in this. My client, the PSR, said my client was guilty and had been convicted of a crime in the state of Georgia. Presumably it was a state of Georgia crime in which he was sentenced to an indeterminate sentence of 2 to 3 years. He actually served 2 years, and at that point he was deported to Mexico. My client is not There's never been drugs as an issue with my client. There's never been, he's not a danger or a terrorist or any other such thing. He's a migrant worker. He's a Mexican migrant worker. He's a very simple guy. His comprehension level is simple. I believe I mentioned that in one of the briefs. It was also mentioned in court, and it was mentioned in the PSR. His understanding level, it does not rise very high, and in addition to that, he has a very significant problem in that he speaks Spanish, and he does not speak English very well, and I'm not even sure he speaks Spanish that well. But he then, at the time that he was found in Georgia, apparently, according once again to the PSR, he was on probation from a state of Wisconsin matter from 1996. He thought he had to go because he was told that's where he was going to work, and he thought that at the time he was supposed to work. So that's how he got down to Georgia at that time. But then after that, after his prison sentence and after he was deported, in coming back to this country, he really thought that the whole probation element was over. After all, when we got into court, it's 2004. We're not dealing with something that falls within that five-year period. This makes a problem in that he was brought back up to the state of Wisconsin. The state of Wisconsin actually sentenced him on the probation violation, that they revoked probation. He received a sentence, and he received a sentence on two counts, not two cases, but one case in which there were two counts, in which was 5 years each on each case. And so he's in right now in a state prison based on that factor. Judge Shabazz, in putting this 87-month plus three-year sentence on him, is keeping him in this country. I mean, basically, it's going to end up being 20 years in this country for a man who's around 30. He's a little over 30 now. When he gets out, when he gets done with everything, he's going to be deported. If he's going to be deported, then he's going to be deported. What age? He's going to be around 50. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. We're going to be supporting this guy for years and years and years. And I can't see it. What we're dealing with in here before that is that the whole issue that was raised by Booker, in which these assumptions, which are stated in the PSR, are brought into court, and at the time of our hearing, even though Judge Shabazz gave a sentence outside of the guideline, he did not let any argument come in or any kind of factual argument come in that would have counteracted the PSR. So ultimately, what he was working from was the PSR. He said he was giving the 87 months plus 3 years based on sanctioning this man for not taking probation seriously. And that's only one factor. There are too many other factors that would come in that would fall on the other qualifying factors that now have to be considered. And some of those factors that I'd like to consider with it are the factors that we would have to think of in terms of the principles of sentencing post-Booker. I see that my light has gone on, but I just want to very quickly, if I can, just go back to that he really did not consider the Section 3553A factors and or give an opportunity for Rosales Mora to so present that. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Parisi. Mr. O'Shea.
Well, the question is harmless error. The district court's findings of fact, however, in this context only relate to criminal history. And of course, as the court knows, under Booker and Almendarez-Torres in this court's opinion in Morris, those findings of fact don't implicate the Sixth Amendment. That really only matters because it determines how we evaluate the harmless error, and we look for a substantial or injurious effect. And as the court pointed out, the district court went on at length explaining why he would give the same sentence using his own complete discretion, which is be one end of the spectrum, or a mandatory guideline sentence. It respectfully submit that the midpoint of that spectrum is the advisory guidelines. There's no reason to think that the judge would do anything different. I would also respectfully disagree with defense counsel that she didn't have the opportunity to talk about the factors that would indicate a lower sentence might be appropriate. The district court, in fact, broke the sentencing hearing, heard another case, and then invited defense counsel back to talk more. She was able to talk about the defendant's lack of education, rural upbringing, his palpable misunderstanding, according to her, of the criminal justice system. So, you know, she had an opportunity to weigh in. All those things would affect where the person was sentenced within the guideline range. I would also challenge, it's not a big deal, but she says that the defendant left because he thought he had to go to Georgia because that's where his job was. I don't think his misunderstanding of the American judicial system is quite that ambiguous. And I think it's illustrated by paragraph 40, where the defendant was arrested just a couple months after he was put on probation. He was arrested down in Chicago, and he gave the police an alias, Jaime Gonzalez, down there. So I think that would tend to indicate that the defendant didn't just leave because he had to go for work, but rather that he left because he didn't like being on probation. So that's it for the United States. Once again, I appreciate the court's attention.
Thank you, Mr. O'Shea. Ms. Parisi.
Again, that was not a factual presentation. There was no opportunity whatsoever to argue that point in a factual manner. All that one can do is make, in the traditional way of working with the PSR, you make objections to the PSR, and that's it. If the person, the agent writing the PSR, agrees with you, that's fine. If they don't, the PSR as such is sent to the judge and document with recommendations, and so it goes, and it's out of your hands entirely. A sentencing hearing would under Booker would allow one to do that.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Parisi. Thanks to all counsel, and Ms. Parisi, thank you for accepting the appointment in this case. The case is taken under advisement. The court will stand in recess.